At that time,
you protected me.
You protected me. action maintainer.
You are the action maintainer
of the entire universal creation.
Of the entire universal creation.
And therefore, you are the cause of all living entities.
You are the cause of all living entities.
I offer my respect to your existence on
earth. I offer my respect to your existence on
earth. Envious persons cannot appreciate how wonderfully the Lord creates, maintains, and inhabits the universe. But devotees of the Lord can understand this perfectly. Devotees can see how the Lord is acting behind the wonderful workings of the material nature. In Bhagavad Gita 9.10, the Lord says, Maya Dakshana Prakriti Sukhete Chacharacharam Haitu Nani Pankriya Chacharibari Bhakriya. This material nature is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By this rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. All the wonderful transformations of nature are happening under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Envious persons cannot see this, but the devotee, even though very humble and even if uneducated, know that behind all the activities of nature is the supreme hand of the Supreme Being. O Almighty Lord, at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time, you protected me along with the earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O Ambarama, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Who is speaking here? So it's interesting. We are in this section, we are going through the prayers of different residents of Jambudvip. So we understand Lord Brahma divided the entire material creation into 14 planetary systems. And upper, middle, lower, upper six, middle, upper six, and lower seven parts of lokas. And this middle planetary system we are hearing of as Jambudvip. And so these, there are seven vipas that we understand from previous chapters, that Maharaj Priyavrata divided the entire Jambudvip by going through them, riding on horse. And it is also a great commentary, it was mentioned that he rode on seven horses, manifested himself into seven forms, and rode on seven chariots and horses, which are islands and seven oceans. So, and he gave each of the islands to each of his son, and like this, we are hearing about the seven dvipas. Dvipas means island. Seven dvipas. And within this dvipas, there are different varshas. And we are hearing about nine varshas. And this nine varshas, the residents of this nine varshas, each have got their Easter day whom they are offering their prayers. So in the last chapter, in chapter 7, at the end of chapter 17, we heard about Ilaprata Prashad, and Lord Shiva is offering prayers to Lord Santarshan. And in this chapter, we are hearing the prayers of another six varshas. So we started with Bhadrashwara, Maharaj Bhadrashwara offering prayers to Haridiva, Lord Haridiva in Bhadrashwara also. And then we heard about Pradhamara's prayer to Lord Narasimhadev in Harivarsha. Then Kamdev's, Lord Kamdev was offered prayer by Lakshmi Devi in Ketumala Varsha. And now this section, which is verse 24 to 28, today is the last day of the prayers of Vaivashvatama, offering prayers to Lord Matsya in Ramayata Varsha. And then we hear about Aryama offering prayers to Lord Purma in Harimaya Varsha. And last in this chapter, we will hear about Bhumi Devi offering prayers to Varahadev in Utkuru Varsha. And then in the next chapter, we will hear about King Purusha Varsha, where Lord Hanuman and Sugriva are offering prayers to Lord Ram, and Bharat Varsha finally, where Narayana is offering prayers to Narayana Rishi. So, this is where we are at. So, we are hearing about the Matsya Avatara in this section, and the prayers are offered by Vaivasoda Mama. The interesting thing is, in this special, this was mentioned for devastation, and how Matsya Avatara protected Vaivasoda Mama from the waters of devastation. Now, generally, there are four devastation manifestations mentioned. In the 10th and the 4th chapter, it is mentioned. The first one is Naimitika. So Naimitika is at the end of the day of Brahma. That is the devastation. So when the Brahma, Brahma's day, how many yugas are there in the day of Brahma?
Okay.
1000 yuga cycles. So there are 1000 yuga cycles in the day of Brahma. So after those 1000 yuga cycles are finished, at that time the devastation happens and Brahma goes to sleep, and that is same as the night of Lord Brahma. So it's known as Kalpa. So one kalpa is 1000 yuga cycles, then Brahma goes to sleep, devastation happens, and that is night. So that is Naimitika at the end of the day of Brahma. Then Prakrutika, which is at the end of the life of Brahma. So at the end of 100 years of Lord Brahma's finished, then that is Prakrutika annihilation. Second energy in China. And then it is mentioned there is Atyantika annihilation, where one finishes off all the karmic reactions and goes back to God, and his body is finished. His sinful activities, his karma cycle is finished, so it goes back home back to Atyantika annihilation. And then it is mentioned there is Satya annihilation, where continuously the body is deteriorating. Every day he knows me, Tadhe, Kauma, Miyam, Tadhe, Andhra, Kapadhyaya, Satramadhyaya. So Kauma, Miyam, Dara, he is continuously going through different bodies. Our current body is dying and we are accepting new bodies all the time. So there is continual Nitya. But in those four annihilations, there is no more mention about the annihilation which happens this time, which Vaivasvata Manu is speaking about. So, Bhagavan in the 12th canto 4 chapter mentioned about this four annihilation, but does not mention about this annihilation, which is in the middle of the day of Brahma. So, the interesting point here is, how many months are there in the day of Brahma? 40. So, and Vaivasvata Manu is which month?
Seven.
So just after six is Chakshushman, and Vaivasvata Manu comes. So this is the middle. middle of the day of Brahma, there cannot be annihilation. So why is it mentioned about annihilation? So when you go to the 8th canto, 24th chapter, which mentions about Matsya Avatar, there is a question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj, in the first verse itself, asks question, think, can you please explain? Because just before this Matsya Avatar, 24th chapter, just before this Matsya Avatar, 24th chapter, there has been pastime of Vamanadeva. 1723 is the pastime of Vamanadeva. And in that pastime, Sukadeva Goswami has narrated the pastime of Vamanadeva and how Lord Vamanadeva was born like a beggar, short, dwarf body. So, Parikshit Maharaj had also heard about Matsya, so he is asking Sukadeva Goswami, you have already explained me Vamanadeva pastime, who is born, but now there is another pastime, Matsya Avatara, who is born in a lower species. So why did Lord accept such a lower species? So this was the first thing. But he said, it is still Adbhut Karmana. So Adbhut Karmana means, it is wondrous activities, his activities are wonderful. But please explain me why Adbhut Karmana, and the second thing is Maya Matsya. So why did Lord appear in this Matsya form, which is illusory? It looks like a lower species, but what is the need for this lower species? So, and then the second verse he mentioned, but please tell me, because this Uttama Sloka Charitra is Sarva Loka Sukha Vayam. So anyone hearing about this Lord's pastimes, Uttama Sloka Charitra, is Sukham. It gives happiness. So please tell me, narrate the pastime, why did Lord appear in this lower species of fish, like a fish? So, Sukadeva Goswami explains this two pastimes. So, the first pastime Sukadeva Goswami explains is at the end of day of Brahma, when Brahma was in sleep, was about to go to sleep, at that time the Vedas flew out of his mouth and there was a demon who appeared, who through his illusory yogi potency stole the Vedas. And then Lord had to appear because there was devastation, the water had already risen at that time. And there was the entire universe was inundated in water. So there was no other form which could swim better than Matsya. So Lord assumed that form of Matsya and killed the demon and retrieved the Vedas and again gave it to Lord Brahma. So this was the first time. And the second time, Sukadeva Goswami mentions this, in the middle of the day of Brahma, just after the Chakshusha Manantara was about to end, at that time, King Satyavrata was a very religious king, who was a devotee of the Lord. So, it is mentioned, that time is not really a time of devastation, but Lord wanted to enact a pastime. So, Lord Brahma had usually, so now this is 7th month, so it is right in the middle, afternoon time. Usually it is mentioned siesta. Anyone has heard about siesta? Afternoon nap. So it's time for afternoon nap. In many countries, like in Japan, they are like implementing this because there is people are dying of what was the Maharaj Karosi, right? So there is a term which they have given, and Devanand Maharaj has shown us a video in one of the retreats where people are dying because of overworking, and they have termed that as karoshi. They work about, sometimes they were shown like 20 hours a day they work. So, and then that within like 10 years they basically die because of that fatigue, kind of hard labor. So they are making this siesta compulsory for everyone. So in the day, like you get 1 hour break where you have to go, there are cells made for employees where you go and sleep in there. So that you can work more and better and longer. So that is the point. They are not concerned about the people, but they are more concerned about their work being done better way. So here we see, in the middle of day of Brahma, when sixth month, Chakshushamanu is about to finish. At that time, Lord Brahma is still sleepy, CSR. But this scene, Satyavrata, when he's gone for his afternoon bathing and is offering waters in the Ganges, and there's a small fish which appears in the palm. And Maharaj Satyavrata just puts that fish back into the water. And it is mentioned that fish speaks and tells Maharaj Satyavrata, "Oh Maharaj, you are so merciful, you are the protector of this kingdom. If you put me back into the water, then the big fish is the aquatics will kill me. So please give me a suitable place." So Maharaj Satyavrata was a bit astonished, a bit because it's unusual for a fish to speak like this. But anyways, since the fish had requested him, he took the fish and put her into a jar. And within day, that fish grew into bigger fish. That jar was not sufficient for the fish. So again, Maharaj Satyavrata put the fish into a pond. And then within day, the pond was also not sufficient. And then Maharaj Satyavrata put the fish into a lake. And even the lake was not sufficient. And then Maharaj Satyavrata put the fish into the ocean. And within the day, the fish grew so big that even the ocean was not sufficient. So it is mentioned. How big was the fish in the mountains? How big was the Matsya avatar?
Initially
it was like the palm. But yeah, when the Matsya avatar. So anyways, then Maharaj Satyavrata could understand that this is not a normal fish, because nobody can grow to such an extent within a day. So he offered, "You are definitely the incarnation of the Lord, so please reveal yourself." And Matsya avatar revealed himself as Lord Vishnu. So Maharaj Satyavrata offers prayers. And interesting is the prayers which Maharaj Satyavrata offers then and the prayers which are mentioned here are very similar. Where Maharaj Satyavrata first offers prayers to Lord Narayan Vishnu and then saying that you are the creator, maintainer and destroyer of the entire universe, and then he's glorifying, "You are not the ordinary demigod, you are the supreme personality of Godhead." So these are the same prayers Maharaj Satyavrata is offering Matsya avatar. And then Matsya avatar told Maharaj Satyavrata that in 7 days this whole universe is going to be inundated in water. Now this is in the middle of the day of Brahmavaya, which usually never happens. But why did this happen? Because first of all, Maharaj Satyavrata is a devotee of Matsya avatar, and Lord Matsya wanted to show Maharaj Satyavrata what a devastation can be. So by mercy of Lord Matsya, he wanted to show this inundation, so this passage. And as is mentioned in this verse, that creation, maintenance and annihilation, it's, of course, there is prakriti, there is already defined timings. But again, Lord is independent. Anytime Lord can create, change those timings and display any of his pastimes. So Lord is not bound by those timings. So this is another point which is coming up in this section, in this 24th chapter, where Acharya point out this, that in the middle of the day of Brahma, this pastime happened. So Matsya avatar told Maharaj Satyavrata that you take all the herbs, the plants, creepers, seeds, and then there will be a boat which will appear. You board that boat and I will appear as my Matsya avatar, and Vasuki will become the rope, and I will take you out of this devastating water. And exactly Maharaj Satyavrata went and sat on the bank of the Ganges, and the rain started pouring and the ocean started flooding. And then the boarding boat appeared. So Maharaj Satyavrata went and boarded this boat along with the Brahmanas, sages, Saptarishi, and along with all the plants, creepers, and seeds. And it is mentioned this fish was 8 million miles long. So I was a bit surprised. But again, this is Lord. Anything that Lord manifest, it's not ordinary. And as Parikshit Maharaj is saying, Adbhuta Karma, that is why Parikshit Maharaj is saying, tell me what is Adbhuta Karma, Maya Matsya. So this is not ordinary fish. And I was telling, what is the biggest fish we have today? It is 40 feet. Sorry? Yeah, it was mentioned sharp whale. Can be called blue whale as well. So that is 40-41 feet long. So that's the maximum size of the fish these days. But here I was looking at this big fish appeared, which is 8 million miles long. So Maharaj Satyavrata then boarded this fish. So there are two avatars which happen. So the first avatar happens at the beginning of Swayambhu and restores the Vedas, and second Matsya avatar happens there after the Chakshusha Manantara, sixth Manantara, and beginning of Vaivasvata. And Vaivasvata Maharaj Satyavrata becomes Vaivasvata Manu, who is born as the son of sun god. So he appears in the, as a seventh Manu. So we hear about this two manifestations of Matsya avatar. Again, it is mentioned that there are destruction which happens. As we mentioned, four annihilations. There are another destructions which are mentioned in the third and tenth chapter. And so there are three kinds of destructions. And the first kind of destruction is mentioned as Kala, by the time, progression of time, which is again coming to this fourth destruction. As the time progresses, the day of Brahma finishes, there is destruction. And at the end of the life of Brahma, there is destruction. But the second kind of destruction is Dravya. Dravya is again end of day of Brahma. So when everything gets assimilated into water. And the third one is the Guna. So Kala, Dravya and Guna. And this Guna is basically by the reactions of one's karmic activities. So at that time the destruction happens. Depending on how one leaves his body, how one leaves his life. So there is a destruction which comes at the end of his life. So the interesting, there was an interesting pastime, since we are hearing the prayers of different residents. There is a real life story which I heard about a cashier in the State Bank of India in Ahmedabad. So in Ahmedabad there is a cashier. He was about 46, few years ago, he was 46 years old. So this cashier, Ramchandra Rawal, and it is mentioned that is one of the, in Ahmedabad, this bank, State Bank of India, is one of the big banks, and there are like many counters, cashier counters, but about six counters are there. But there is always a queue where Ramchandra Rawal is sitting. He sits on different counters. So there is always a queue where he is sitting, but the rest of the counters are empty. And sometimes the manager comes out and tells him, why don't you go to the other counter to people who are standing in the queue? Here also we see that. So the manager comes out, but they say, no, we want to deal with Ramchandra Rawal only. We don't want to deal with anyone else. So this manager was a bit surprised, why is everyone standing in the queue? So one time he just thought, let me interview few people. What is it in Ramchandra Rawal that other is not like handsome looking or something or anything great about him, his personality? So why does people only want to go to? So he interviewed one of the businessmen who was standing in the queue. Why only this person? Why not other? It will be quicker. But the businessman said, whenever I deal with Ramchandra Rawal, I don't know. When I take money or put money into the account, it grows. I make good business. That way my business is double. Whereas when I go to other counters, my business does not grow so well. So I always like to deal with him. So man said, okay. And then he went to the old man. Why are you standing in the queue? Just go in the front of there is other counter. And the old man said, I like his personality. Whatever he does, I don't mind saying, I don't mind going anyways. So I'll send in the queue. So he said, okay. And then he went to one of the contractors and said, why don't you go to the other queue? And the contractor said, I stand because whenever I give money or check, deposit the check, that day my
my contract gets approved. For some reason, when I go to some other contract, you know, they say my contract gets rejected. So I don't know. There is something, that is why I just always go to this person. So, okay. And then he went to another person who was a business and was traveling many places. And he said, I dealt with many of the banks and bankers around the country. But when I dealt with him, like twice I took withdraw money from him. And when I went overseas and lost my money, I got it back. So I now always deal with him only. So twice I lost my money back and I got it back. So I always deal with him. And then there was another person. He said that I was a drunkard. For many years I was having this illicit, performing all these illicit activities. I was drinking, smoking. But one day I went to Ramchandran, withdrew money for gambling. And when he gave me that money, I did not feel like drinking or gambling. And I deposited it back into the account. From that day onwards, I never drank. And the manager now becomes a little bit, what is going on here? Like, he must be having some magic or something. And then he interviewed one more lady who was standing in the queue. And she said, I had a boyfriend and I was going to run away with my boyfriend and I was going to withdraw everything that was in my husband and my own account. So I came to Ramchandran Rao and gave him a check to withdraw all the amount. When he gave me the money, I did not feel like doing this and I deposited the money back and I went back to my husband and left my boyfriend. So now this manager was getting withdrawn. What is this? So he called Ramchandra Rao to his home and he said, what is it that, and of course Ramchandra Rao knew what it was. So he said, no, don't worry, I don't have any yogi powers or I'm not a magician or anything. But my mother had always taught me one thing. See, every time you do any of the activities, you should say, Bhagwan Bhagwan Bhalu Kare. What does that mean? God bless you. So every time, whenever a person comes, I greet him with Bhagwan Tamaru Bhalu Kare, God bless you. So he comes, whenever a person comes to my counter, I tell him, God bless you. Whenever he gives me cash or check, I tell him second time, God bless you. And whenever I give him a receipt, I tell him three times, third time, God bless you. Bhagwan Tamaru Bhalu Kare. So three times I tell him, God bless you. And hearing that somehow, their life changes. So the point here is mentioned, and then this manager understood that it was a prayer, a mode of prayer with which this Ramchandra Rao was treating the customers, which changed their lives. So interesting point, and I really thought this was amazing, and it's a real life story. It's interesting how the power of the prayer is so potent that if someone prays with a good heart, even though that person might not be a great devotee, but the prayer itself has got a potency to change the life of a person. And we are hearing this prayer is extraordinary actually. All these prayers, when you go through them, they are having that, they glorify, first of all, they glorify the Lord. The second thing is, they are showing us what we should be doing, how we should approach the Lord. And then I was reading one of the classes, it was mentioned there are three kinds of prayers. First kind of prayer is Sampradnika prayers. So Sampradnika prayers is where you are offering prarthana, you are offering the heartfelt prayers. And then there is Daini Bhotika prayers, where you express your Daina, where you express your fallen condition. And then there are Lalasamayi prayers. So Lalasamayi prayers are the prayers where you ask the Lord for benedictions. So these are the three kinds of prayers. And when these prayers are offered, they have the potency to give you results. And of course the Lord, when you offer prayers to the Lord, there is always a reciprocation from the Lord. So these are some of the interesting points which came up into this section. So, is there, are there any questions, comments? That's an interesting possibility of work sometimes. So, I was hearing one of the Maharajis mentioning this pastime of from Ramchandramanas. And in that it was mentioned there was a king named Sukanta, and this king was going to temple, and he was a disciple of Narayana. So when this king was going to temple, Narayana appeared in front of him, and Sukanta Maharaj was really happy. He thought, oh, my Gurudev has appeared out of nowhere, like this is mercy of my Gurudev. So Narayana told him, where are you going? And Sukanta said, I'm going to temple to take darshan of the Lord. And Narayana said, there are many sages sitting there, don't forget to offer them obeisances. And Sukanta Maharaj said, of course, you have taught me this, that all the sages have to be offered obeisances. But Narayana said, but there is one sage, whose name is Vishwamitra, don't offer him obeisances. And Sukanta Maharaj was surprised, why is my guru asking me not to offer obeisances to Vishwamitra? So he asked, like, why is that? He said, Vishwamitra is a Kshatriya and you are a Kshatriya. So Kshatriya don't offer obeisances. It's like a degrading position there. Vishwamitra should not be offered obeisances. And Sukanta Maharaj said, okay, as my guru said, I follow the instruction of my guru, not break the third principle. So he said, okay. He went there to the temple, he offered obeisances to everyone except for Vishwamitra. And of course, then left from there. Vishwamitra saw Maharaj Sukanta came and offered obeisances to everyone properly. And he did not, he just ignored me. And that was like sufficient for Vishwamitra to get angry. So he went to Lord Ram. So when he went to the palace of Lord Ram was resting and Lakshman was outside the palace garden so that nobody can disturb Lord Ram's sleep. So when Vishwamitra came, he shouted, where is Ram? And Lakshman said, my brother is sleeping, so whatever it is, you can tell me. He said, because Lord Ram is sleeping, that's why these things are happening in your kingdom. This is not a time for sleep. And Lord Ram heard this and he ran outside. Paid his obeisances to Vishwamitra. Of course, Vishwamitra is the guru of Lord Ram. So he paid his obeisances to Vishwamitra and said, what is the thing I can help you with? And Vishwamitra said, there is a king, Sukanta, who is not suitable to become a king because he offended me. He did not pay obeisances to me. And Lord Ram said, whatever you say, Gurudev, I'll just make sure that the head which does not go down to sage like you should be cut down. I'll, by tomorrow evening, I'll cut down the head of Maharaj Sukanta. And the news went to Maharaj Sukanta that Lord Ram was preparing for his army to come and attack him and is going to kill him. And now Maharaj Sukanta was devastated. If Lord Ram wants to kill you, who can save you? So he started crying and started searching for Narayana. Where is Narayana, my Gurudev? Of course, Narayana can only appear by his own way. He travels all over. So he did not know where he is. So he started crying. And at that moment, Narayana appeared. And Maharaj Sukanta said, see what you have done. I followed your orders and now Lord Ram is coming to kill me. And Narayana said, don't worry, everyone should have wanted. But Sukanta said, but Lord Ram is going to kill me. And said, it's good, even better. Lord Ram is going to get liberation. But Sukanta said, no, I don't want to die so young. Please do something and save me. And at that moment, Narayana said, I don't have a power to save you from Lord Ram. The only person who can save you is you go to that hill where Mother Anjani is performing tapasya. So be outside the cave, you sit and cry. Whatever you are doing here, do it there. Something might happen. But don't tell them that Lord Ram is planning to kill you. Tell everything else but Lord Ram. And Sukanta Maharaj said, okay, I'll go there. So Sukanta Maharaj went to the mountain outside the cave, sat and started crying. And Anjani Mata came out and said, what happened? And he said, Vishwamitra is making plans to get me killed. So you are my only shelter, otherwise I'll die. So Anshu Mahataji said, don't worry, you go into the cave, I will guard outside, Vishwamitra will not attack me, not pass me. And Sunanda Maharaj went into the cave. At that moment, Lord Hanuman came in the evening, and Anshu Mahataji said, whatever happens, you have to save Maharaj Sunanda. Vishwamitra is making plans to kill Maharaj Sunanda, and we have to protect him. And Lord Hanuman said, I'm taking a vow that I swear upon the lotus feet of my Ishwadev Lord Ram that I will protect him, whatever he happens. So then Sunanda Maharaj came outside, and Lord Hanuman asked Sunanda Maharaj, what is the whole story? Please tell me. And then Sunanda Maharaj said, Lord Ram wants to. So at that moment, Lord Hanuman said, now I'm already in a problem. Like, I already promised my mother that I take a vow on the lotus feet of my sister Lord Ram that I'll protect you. Now, the only person who can protect you is Lord Ram. So immediately Hanuman goes to Lord Ram and tells, please give up now. Lord Ram is preparing the army and marching towards Sunanda Maharaj's kingdom. At that moment, Lord Hanuman comes and prays, offers obeisance to Lord Ram, prays to Lord Ram, please give up this idea. And Lord Ram said, no, I have promised my guru that by tomorrow night, Sunanda Maharaj has to finish, has to die. So Lord Ram said, I have promised, taken a vow on your lotus feet that I will protect him. Lord Ram said, nothing doing, I am going to kill him. So again, Hanuman ji, he goes back to Sunanda Maharaj and says, let's get out from here, let's get out from the kingdom, go into the forest. So Sunanda Maharaj said, where are you going, where are you going to take shelter from? He said, you have taken away my shelter, how can I give you shelter? The only way I can do it is, I can make you run as fast as possible. But then, as soon as they were running, Hanuman could understand that they couldn't go far, because they cannot run from Lord Ram. So what did Lord Ram, Hanuman ji do? Stand in the forest and started kirtan, loud kirtan of Lord Ram in the middle of the forest. And Lord Ram's army comes to Sukanda's kingdom. And at that moment, they see that Sukanda has left. So they ask, where is Maharaj Sukanda? And the residents there said, one monkey came, he took Sukanda Maharaj and left. And Lord Ram could understand that monkey is none other than Hanumanji. So he told Lakshman, can you go and find Hanuman, where he is? And Lakshman said, I cannot catch up with Hanuman. You and Hanuman know each other very well. So you only find Hanuman. So at that point, Lord Ram said, okay, do one thing. Wherever there is a loud kirtan noise coming, Hanuman should be there. So they came to this forest where Lord Hanuman was chanting loudly. Now it's an interesting point, it was mentioned there. When Hanuman was chanting loudly, he went into ecstasy and he was crying in ecstasy. At the same time, Sunanda Maharaj was crying in fear. In Hindi it was mentioned, Hanumanji was crying in bhava and Sunanda Maharaj was crying in bhaya. So there was a contradiction, but anyways, this was going on. Lord Ram came, and Lord Ram, when he saw Sunanda Maharaj, he started shooting arrows. But the holy name of the Lord was so powerful that the arrows couldn't pass Lord Hanuman, because he was chanting the names of Lord Ram. So the arrows of Lord Ram couldn't pass the holy name of Lord Ram. But at that moment, Lord Ram became tired now. At that point, Lakshman saw that my brother is getting tired. The only way to stop Hanuman from chanting or kill Sunanda is stop Hanuman from chanting. So he shot an arrow to Hanuman ji. So as soon as Lakshman shot arrow to Lord Hanuman, it pierced the heart of Hanuman ji. And at that moment, as soon as it pierced the heart of Hanuman ji, Lord Ram fell down. Because who is sitting in the heart of Hanuman ji? Lord Ram. So he fainted, and Lakshman said, what have I done? So somehow he brought Lord Ram to consciousness, and Lord Ram went and beat, because Hanumanji's heart was bleeding. So Lord Ram was putting the hand on the heart of Hanuman and other hand on the head of. So he was like putting hand on the heart of Hanuman and then putting hand on the head of Hanumanji. So Lord Ram was like pacifying like this to bring Hanuman back in consciousness. He was still sleeping. And Lord Ram couldn't see the blood of Hanumanji. So Lord Ram closed his eyes and he was putting his hand on the heart and the head. He was swapping his hands like this. And at one point when Hanumanji saw that Lord Ram's eyes are closed, he brought Sugandha and put him on his lap and then pushed him ahead and went behind. At that point, Lord Ram kept hand on the head of Sugandha and immediately opened eyes. Who is this? And it was Sugandha. And Lord Hanuman said, now you cannot kill him. You have put your hand on the head of this person. How can you kill the person whom you have put your hand on? So at that moment, it is mentioned, Vishwamitra appears there as well. And Hanuman said, you have only now last chances. Go and fall at the feet of Vishwamitra whom you have offended. And Sugandha Maharaj ran and paid obeisances to Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra said, okay, this is enough. Lord Ram, please forgive him. There is no need to kill him now. So at that point, Vishwamitra said, why did you do that? Why did you not offer me obeisances before? And now you are offering. With whom did you associate that you got this cool thing? You must have associated with some non-devotee. And immediately Narayana appears there and said, sorry, it was my mistake. I only instructed him to do this. And Vishwamitra said, why did you instruct like this? You should be punished. He said, no, everyone is asking me the difference between Lord and Lord's holy names. And just to show this pastime, just to show that Lord's holy name is more powerful than the Lord, I had to do this. So this pastime shows how the holy name of the Lord is more powerful than Lord himself. So okay, we'll stop here. And comments or corrections? Questions?
जय श्री
भागवतम की जय।